the day off and several days off, and what was supposed to be a nice relaxing vacation, when I talked to him a couple days ago, he says it's actually probably going to be trying to get Judah potty trained. So not overly relaxing, but a very much needed Sunday off. And so, Christy, thank you for being with us here today, and thank you for being willing to lead us.
Can you hear me now? That's better. There we go. I invite us to turn to the book of 1 Samuel 12. It's on page 272 in your pew Bible if you want to join along, or I invite you to just listen as well. 1 Samuel 12, starting at verse 19. The people all said to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord your God for your servants, so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king." "Do not be afraid," Samuel replied. "You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will perish." Now, as I said, I am a student at Calvin Seminary. I just finished my first year, and before that, I'm originally from Edmonton, Alberta. And so after this school year ended, I got to go back and visit my family and friends and spend time with them, and that was absolutely fantastic. Now, I'll be honest with you, the first year of seminary was hard. It was amazing, wonderful, but challenging. So I needed a vacation after the school year ended. Now, what did I do other than, of course, see family and friends? What did I do while I was on this vacation? I watched Netflix. Now, why would I just sit and watch Netflix? Well, that's what you do, right? At least that's what people my age are supposed to do. Like, everything in media, everything in the world is telling me that my vacation spent watching Netflix, catching up on the newest shows, is the best way for me to accumulate my own happiness. Now, I know that's not a very good reason to do things. But in the moment, it was really difficult for me to convince myself of that. Now, I watched so much Netflix that I blocked God out completely. I blocked God out, and I lost all of my passion. But did I stop? No, because then I would have had to admit to God that choosing to reject God for TV, that wasn't a good choice. Now, Samuel, he's been telling the Israelites how they have not made a good choice. Now, a few steps back in our story, the Israelite elders came to their judge Samuel and told them that they didn't want another judge after Samuel. They wanted a king. And in his heartache, just a couple chapters earlier, in 8 verse 7, it says that the Lord told Samuel, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. But now, standing in front of the people at Gilgal, their new king, King David, has just been appointed, and Samuel is in the middle of his farewell speech. Now, standing tall, Samuel says to the crowd, "Realize and see what a great sin you have committed before the Lord by asking for a king for yourselves." The Israelites' last judge, the one who's followed God's call and been faithful to them, Samuel, he's reminding the people of everything he's done for them, everything God has done for them. He doesn't want them to forget that they have disobeyed. The Israelites sought after idols to keep them safe. They failed to trust God. They've rejected the leaders God has appointed to them. And the kicker, they dismissed God's command to be a nation set apart as they asked for a king. The Israelites did not trust God to be their faithful leader. They wanted to appear like everyone else. They value looking the same as other nations higher than they value God as their king. After the Israelites' constant whining and their incessant demands, now is a time that they get to appear like everyone else. Now is the time that they have a king. The Israelites have a long history of letting the nations and the cultures around them determine what they want, and they fail to trust God. They are ruled by their collective fear, even though God has been faithful through their history. And so they desire kingship. They demand the status quo, whatever it is, this sure thing they think they're going to receive. They want what will make them like everyone else. And life is easier. Life is easier for us when we're like everyone else. That's how we're accepted by the people around us. We blend in, we conform, we compromise what makes us who we are. Now, this happens most clearly in adolescence. We change ourselves to fit in. And now I know for most of us, our junior high and high school years are maybe ones that we'd rather forget, but they're formative, they're important. And they were really important for a girl named Sarah. Sarah, in junior high school, she had short hair, it was always in a ponytail, she wore her Nike runners to school because she was always ready for a race. Like she played soccer, she's the best player on her soccer team, she played baseball with the boys at lunch, she'd beat them in arm wrestles. But when Sarah got to high school, she realized there weren't any other kids like her. None of the girls wore their sneakers to school. And when she tried to play soccer with the boys, they acted like she wasn't there. So Sarah stopped playing soccer. She wore expensive and uncomfortable shoes and would not leave the house without her hair and makeup done. Now, by doing this, she was accepted by the popular kids at her school. She sat with them at lunch, and then they made fun of all of the lazy people who wore their hair in ponytails, and they made fun of the scraped knees of the soccer players. Now, Sarah went from being the fastest kid in her class to being the one who made fun of the sweaty nerds at lunch. Now, Sarah thought that looking and acting like the people around her was going to make her happy. But she didn't like who she was anymore. Now, there's a lot that we will do to fit in. The brokenness in this world is constantly telling us what we need to do or be in order to be happy, in order to be accepted. The world is particularly convincing when we feel isolated and rejected by the people around us. We're told that being accepted by people with status makes us happy. And this, we know, this goes way past high school. We hear that we need to be the ones with the best things, We need the newest phone, or we need a romantic relationship, or we need the big promotion, or the kids need to go to a prestigious college. The list is endless. When we feel different, we want to fit in. When we feel isolated, we want to be accepted. And as Christians, we too find external acceptance when we are afraid. We avoid that pain by filling ourselves with everything other than God. And in the process, we tell God that God isn't enough. We tell God that God isn't enough. We fill ourselves, push God away. You know what we call that? Hell. We prioritize our status, our identity in our things, not our identity in Christ. Acceptance by our loving Savior is no longer what's important. Fitting in is. Every time we compromise ourselves for external acceptance, we tell God that being accepted by God isn't enough. Now, through their actions, the Israelites have told God that God isn't enough as their king. They want to look like all other nations. They want a ruler like all other nations. They didn't want to stand out and be different. They wanted to fit into their idea of what was best. They wanted to fit into the broken worldly standards. Now in our story, Samuel is all worked up. But he slows down, he takes a few deep breaths, and the noise of the Israelite crowd is growing. And the people start pleading to him, "Pray for us, pray for us." They say to Samuel, "Pray to the Lord God for your servants." And Samuel is taken aback. After all they have demanded from God, they call themselves servants? The Israelites realize the lack of trust they have in God. They know God is powerful, and now they're afraid of what God will do because of their request. "I don't want to die," they're shouting over one another. "Have mercy, don't let us die." They want Samuel's prayers. They are reaching out to the leader God has appointed to them. Now Samuel opens his mouth to speak as a hush comes over the crowd. And with all his faith, Samuel says, "Do not be afraid. Everyone is paying attention to what their old prophet has to say." He says, "The Lord will not reject his people." Faces of worry and shame in the crowd begin to melt. Samuel brings the Israelites the words of God. "The Lord was pleased to make you his own." They know God is greater than any king. They know God is greater than any idol. They know God has been with God's people in famine and in plenty, in their wandering. Through it all, God did not leave them. God did not give up on them. It doesn't matter where in the world they are. It doesn't matter if they have a prophet, a judge, or a king. God gives God's people an identity aside from place, aside from hierarchy and governance. God reminds the Israelites of their identity as God's chosen people. God doesn't reject them. How often do we reject God? How often do we turn and ignore our identity in Christ? Now, I'll be honest with you. There are points where it's especially hard for me to tell other people that I'm a Christian, especially if I know this other person has experienced harm from the church, if they have a really bad idea of Christians, if they've experienced a lot of pain. But a friend of mine, his name is Zach, he's a Christian. He was invited to a Friendsgiving, that's like Thanksgiving with all of your friends. And when he went, he knew that a number of the other guests there, they were part of the LGBTQ community, people who have experienced a lot of hurt from the church, and he knows that a lot of these people had. Now, he decided he wasn't going to tell anybody about his faith. He was just going to have a dinner. It was going to be fine. But as they all sat down for dinner, everything kind of quieted to this awkward silence. "May I pray?" he blurts out. He suddenly got really embarrassed. He felt found out. He's like, what do I do? He was preparing himself for someone to awkwardly say no, and a couple confused faces looked down at their plates, and Zach was about to take it back, when all of a sudden one of the strangers looked at him, smiled, and said, "Yes, please pray for us." Now, all Zach did was pray for the dinner and their time together, but it was really important because God was present there. God was present at that dinner, present in that prayer, present with that fellowship. And we know that we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be afraid. Like my friend Zach, we avoid God out of not fitting in or being found out. Like me, we binge on what's supposed to make us happy and then reject God out of pride. We fill our lives with things to impress people with status and reject God as we try to live up to this broken worldly norm. We give up on God. We reject God. We don't deserve God's grace. But with God, there's no reason to be afraid. God gives grace when it's not deserved. How much grace do we receive? God was rejected by this world, put on a cross, and we get eternity. You are loved that much. We tell God that God isn't enough. And even as we avoid God, God will not leave us. God will not give up on us. God will not reject us. Now, our identity, it's not in our comfortable lives. It's not in our status. It's not in our things. It's not in fitting into the norm. Our identity, we know, is in Christ. Now, Samuel says to the Israelites, the same words are for you. The Lord was pleased to make you his own. The Lord was pleased to make you his own. God looks at each and every one of you in your brokenness. And God delights in you because God does not reject you. Let's pray. Our triune God, ever-present one, God, we confess that all too often we treat you like you are not enough for us. We seek acceptance from others and compromise our identity in you. God, may you empower us to know the lies of the enemy that tell us our identity in you is not enough. God, lead us into our week to do the work you have prepared for us, that we may be part of bringing forth your kingdom. God, may we find peace and rest in your word and truth. In the powerful and holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand if you are.